the joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we come in that peace and that hope today, we're going to share the same message that the man in white gave to those women that morning long ago. Christ is risen. And as we go forward, I want to ask you, if you would, to join with me and let's pray together, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come together on this day, that is your day, the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We come on this day, that's a very special day on our calendar, for it is a day that we set aside to remember that morning of the first day of the week when Jesus had come out of the tomb. We're reminded, Father, that it was a great surprise to those who discovered it. We're thankful that it is no surprise to us. It is a daily consolation and comfort to us. And it's something that we remember and something we think about every day, but on this day that we set apart as Easter, we recall it in a very special way. We pray today, Father, for the needs of so many in our world, the crisis that health care workers and that those that are sick from this virus and so many leaders find themselves in. We recognize, Father, that it reaches much further than we can imagine. The weight is much greater than we by ourselves can bear. Lord, you tell us that we're to cast our burdens upon you because you care for us. So we come to you today and beg for your healing grace and mercy upon those that have need of you today. There are diseases and afflictions and injuries that are not related to the coronavirus. We pray, Father, that you would be close to each one who needs you today, but that you might in a special way heal our land from this disease that has brought about so many changes. And yet, as we come in a world full of changes, we beg, Father, that we can stand in the hope of the one who never changes, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word to our hearts. Bless me to speak it in a clear and straightforward manner. Bless it to the minds and ears and hearts to which you direct it, that it not return unto you void. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. And amen. I want to ask you today to look with me at a passage of Scripture that actually comes to us from the words of Jesus that he spoke before he was arrested and tried and crucified. And yet there is a particular expression that he gave to his disciples that is a most momentous statement and very important for us today. I want you to look with me at John chapter 14. And I want to read verse 19. Now, while you're looking, perhaps finding that verse, I want to remind you that this particular verse and us remembering it this morning, realizing that when he spoke it, he had not yet been arrested, he had not yet been crucified, he had not yet been resurrected. Now, remember that the Scripture tells us that there are a great many times when the disciples looked backwards on things and remembered things that Jesus said to them afterwards, after he had been crucified, after he had been resurrected, after the Holy Spirit had come upon them. So looking backward is something that God has had his people do for greater understanding on a lot of occasions. I pray today that he'd give us that understanding as we look together from John chapter 14, verse 19. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Because I live, ye shall live also. Now Jesus is with his disciples on the night of his arrest, just prior to his arrest. Jesus had been with his disciples in the upper room. They had shared that Last Supper that we have come to know as the Communion Supper. Jesus washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. And we know that Judas had already departed him to go to betray him. Now, following the supper and following the washing of the feet, Jesus began to teach his disciples. John 13, 14, 15, and 16 are chapters that are filled with direct instruction and with great promises. Jesus tells us in that set of chapters that we are to love one another as He's loved us, and by this shall all men know that we are His disciples. Within chapter 14, 15, and 16, we find that Jesus gives us three different promises regarding the coming of the Holy Spirit and the work of that Holy Spirit that would be in our lives to help us remember the things that He taught us. And it's during this period of teaching that this verse from John chapter 14, verse 19, comes into play. Jesus said, "A little while, and the world will not see me. But you, the disciples, will see me." Now, we know from this side of history that Jesus was arrested, was tried at three different levels of authority, was humiliated and mocked, was brutally crucified, gave up his life, was buried in a tomb. We know that there was the presumption that nobody would see him anymore. He was dead and was buried, and that was the end of the story, they feared. And yet Jesus had reminded them, he had told them ahead of time that he was going to go up to Jerusalem. He was going to be mistreated and tried by men, and he was going to be beaten, he was going to be crucified, but he was also going to rise again the third day. And he says to them now, just before all of that's about to unfold, "The world is going to see me no more, but you will see me." You see, after the resurrection, after that morning when the women went to the tomb and found him gone, after they went and told the disciples and Peter and John came running out to the tomb, after the reality of the resurrection was there, the disciples saw him. He revealed himself to his disciples. He came to them. He came to them that night. He talked to men on the road to Emmaus. He spent 40 days with them. But it seems from the record of Scripture that during that time, Jesus no longer revealed himself in public as he had done teaching in the temple and doing great miracles. The world would see him no more. But the disciples would see him. But he gave a reason for that. For he said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Folks, I'm going to tell you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ identifies Jesus as the Son of God with power. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most marvelous miracles in all of the history of men. But I'm going to tell you this morning that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most personal reasons for our lives that any of us has. Because Jesus lives, we shall live also. Now, beloved, I want you to notice with me the present tense of that statement. Jesus doesn't say, because I will live again. What he said was, because I live. You see, Jesus came into this world knowing that he was going to the cross. He died. There was no deceptive faking of his death. There was no acting like he died. Jesus, as the man, Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. He knew he would die. And yet, as he spoke of his disciples, he spoke in the present tense, because I live. Now, beloved, the importance of that comes in the fact that Jesus, as God come in the flesh, came to that moment of his death with the certainty that though he would die, he would live again. It wasn't that he hoped to come out of the grave. It wasn't that he wished to come out of the grave. It was that it would occur. He was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and yet his resurrection was just as certain as was his death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is given to us in certainty. Now, I want you to notice some scriptures with me this morning. I want you to notice something that Jesus said back in John chapter 10. Look with me in John chapter 10, verses 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. I want to notice two or three things from these verses, but I want you to read this passage of Scripture with me, please. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Oh, dear friends, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was a very dark day. It was a very brutal day. But Jesus was not the first man to be put to death on a Roman cross. But when Jesus was put to death on the Roman cross, something very unique happened. The Romans did not kill Jesus. Jesus laid down his own life. And he laid it down that he would take it again. That's the certainty that he had. And so he says to his disciples, because I live, you shall live also. Now, look at what he said. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus had a sheep. Jesus had a people that were given to Him of the Father. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I lay down my life for the sheep." I lay down my life. I relinquish it. I let it go. Now, notice what He says. I lay down my life that I might take it again. When Jesus hung on that cross with His arms nailed to it, His feet nailed to it, His body badly beaten, He reached a point as He came to His last breaths, He made two statements. "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Lord, I give it to You." And He says, "It is finished." And He gave up the ghost. Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus came to the point where He gave up His life in order that He might take it again. That He might bring it unto Himself, that He might still have it as a man. He went into the grave. He was there 3 days and three nights as the sign of the prophet Jonah. But He took His life. Nobody opened the tomb for Him. He opened it and came out Himself. Nobody set Him free. He called Lazarus from the dead, but he told the disciples, "You loose him and set him free." Jesus had power to take His own life back unto Himself. And that power was to accomplish that which the Father had commanded Him to do. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus came out of the tomb alive. And the message was not, "He's going to live." The message is, "Christ is risen." The message Jesus said is, "Because I live." And we live in the continuity of the One who was dead and is alive. And as John saw Him or heard Him say in the book of the Revelation, He is alive forevermore. And we live in the present tense of the resurrected Lord. He's not a figure of history. He is today. He is the reason of our hope. He is the reason of our life. He is the reason of our anticipation. He's the reason of our joy. "Because I live, ye shall live also." Now, listen to some other scriptures. He offered Himself. He gave His life. Look with me in the book of Hebrews just a moment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Let me read 13 and 14 to read the entirety of the sentence. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh," that was processed under the law of Moses that set a leper clean, that set a sinner clean and able to enter into the presence of God's house, "how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" He purged you. He offered Himself without spot. He never offered Himself to man. He doesn't offer Himself to man today. He instructs man. He commands men. He calls men to repentance. But He offered Himself to the Father to purge us, to wash us clean of our sins. And Hebrews chapter 10, just a chapter over in verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." This man, having offered his sacrifice, is now sat down. He's alive. Where was it that Stephen saw him? When Stephen was being stoned, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and the curtains were pulled back for him. And I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. You see, Jesus now is alive in heaven. And we are alive without the condemnation of sin. He has washed us clean. We are alive with Him having offered Himself for us. He took His life again. And because He lives, we also have a hope of two other things. We have an assurance that as He is the first fruit, we have a hope of living as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. "For now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." He's the first fruit from the dead. What is the first fruit? You see, to the Jews, they understood this in a particular way. They had a feast of the first fruit at the beginning of their growing season. When the first part of the harvest came in, they took that offering and waved it before God. But the promise of the first fruit was that there was going to be more that would come. And you see, beloved, Jesus has become the first fruits of them that slept, of those that were in the grave. He came out of the grave. That's why Paul could write in 1 Thessalonians that Jesus was coming back and we would be caught up and forever be with Him, because there's going to be others that are going to come out of the grave, and that's the sheep, all of whom Jesus died for, all of whom He cleansed, all of whom He offered Himself. He's the first fruit. But the first fruit means something else is coming. And I'll tell you today, beloved, when we stand in this day, when we stand in this troubled world we live in, Jesus stands as the first fruit that says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." We also live today because He's prepared a place for us. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled." These are familiar words. Let not your heart be troubled. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, in my Father's home are many mansions." We think of a great city with a lot of mansions. There's also the image that's given, "In my Father's house are many rooms." We'll all be together in the Father's house. Why? "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." You see, Jesus has entered into heaven. He's not still on a building program. There's a place prepared from before the foundation of the world, and everyone who would be there has a place prepared for them. Jesus went to prepare the way for the resurrected body to enter into the presence of God. And He will prepare, will come back and get us and take us to that place He has prepared for us. A man who has overcome death, a man who no longer has sin, a man who has a body that is glorified. He will glory. We'll have a body fashioned like unto the glorious Son of God. And we'll have a place where we shall live also. But let me tell you something. We don't have to wait for that. We have a joy of living today. We can come close to God today. Look with me again in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Begin reading in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way. Having a boldness, having a certainty. Jesus has prepared a place for us. We have a promise that says we can draw near to Him. Having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Not wait for the profession. Let us hold fast. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. In the book of John, we're told that Jesus said that He had come that we would have life and that we would have it more abundantly. You see, in this day, beloved, we live because of Jesus Christ. We live with the hope of eternity. We live with the assurance that He's in heaven, ever living to make intercession for us. We have a place prepared for us. We have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. But folks, we have the same reason for hope and joy and for service in our life today. Because I live, Jesus said, you shall live also. You shall live an abundant life through the Holy Spirit. You shall have a way prepared for you to draw close to the Father. Because Jesus lives, we can face the day in which we live. Bill and Gloria Gaither penned the words to a very well-known song. But the chorus of that song says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And we could paraphrase that and say, He holds my future. He holds all the future. But I'm thankful that He holds mine. My life is worth the living because He lives. Oh, brothers and sisters, on this Easter Sunday, we can say, I have a reason for living. I have a reason for joy. I have a reason that my sins have been washed away. I have a reason because Jesus says, repent and be baptized. Follow me. I have a path in which to walk. I have a direction in which I am to go. I have an inheritance for which I'm to look. But I have the certainty that I have today a peace which passes all understanding. Jesus said, the Scriptures say that God would keep our hearts in perfect peace when our hearts are stayed upon Him. Oh, I have so much. Why do I have it? I have it because of Jesus. Because He lives. Because He lives today, I shall live. Also, today, tomorrow, and forever. May God bless us, is my prayer. Lord, thank You for the promise of the life that we have. Your resurrection is no longer a promise. Your resurrection is a fulfilled promise. Your resurrection is a certainty. Your resurrection is a turning point in the history of men. But Your resurrection is the reason we know that we too shall be raised from the dead, washed in Your blood by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. Jesus' workmanship. He's made us alive by His redeeming work. And He has prepared us unto work that we're to do today, and unto the hope that You've given of life everlasting. Carry us, O Lord, in the hope of Christ. And may we know that because Jesus lives, we shall live also. In His blessed name I pray. And amen. My brothers and sisters, I thank you for being with us today. I invite you to come back and be with us again at every opportunity. And when all of this turmoil is past and we can begin to gather here, if you're in our area and can come, we'd love to have you come and worship with us here in the sanctuary at Riverside Primitive Baptist Church. Till we meet again, God bless and keep you.